Chapter 5. More Than My Fair Share. The question I've been asked more than any other is this: is the walk for charity? Honestly, if I had a pound for every person who asked me that, I'd give it to charity, of course, but the walk itself must not be for charity. I was certain of that. It's not a decision I've taken lightly. I'm a huge fan of charity, and even had direct debits set up at one point, before my online banking started to look cluttered and I had a purge. Footnote: Help for Heroes, Friends of John Meeber, and Eton College. Indeed, I hope that before long, our collective donations will do so much for the needy that the Exchequer can do away with income tax, the mandatory charitable donation that everyone seems to be fine with. Perhaps because they haven't bothered to think it through. No, I'm bang into charity, all right. I've done my sponsored swims, sponsored shaves, and even popped my head and hands in medieval stocks. That, for a pound a pop, church fete attendees could throw wet sponges at me, similar to the very Old Testament stonings that Jesus supposedly got rid of when he rebranded God as a nice chap. Indeed, I'm sure that the Messiah would have had something to say about the older lads, still Christians, remember, loading up sponges with hot coffee and wanging them full pelt at my frightened face. One year I even got involved in North Norfolk Digital's sales team's charity, Dress Down Friday. Unlike the creative side of the operation, our advertising lot are required to wear shirts, ties and suits. Don't know why. Well, when Muggins here heard that they were permitted to wear their casual clothes in exchange for a £5 donation, I couldn't help but get involved. Except I had to invert the idea, because of course on a normal day, I get to wear what I want. Well, picture their faces when Partridge strolls up, pops £5 in the collection box and says, "Morning!" The sales floor looks up as one to see Alan Partridge in a pinstripe suit and shiny black shoes, a bowler perched atop brill-creamed hair, and a briefcase in his hand, my hand. "Morning," said Sarah before looking down. That's Sarah all over, a prize lemon sucker. I'm sure the lads reading this know what I mean. None of her colleagues reacted either, and I became concerned that the penny wasn't dropping for them. So back straight, nose in the air, I began to march up and down. "I'm a businessman, don't you know?" Nothing, so I ploughed on. "Just doing some business. Buy, sell, want to get my bonus." By now they were all looking. "Call me Mr. Corporate, y'all." I realised I'd slipped into an American drawl, so I tried to steer myself back to more how-do-you-do territory. "Pull up the figures for Q4, what? Shit, now I'd become too posh, and in any case I remembered that people in business tend not to have an accent. They just speak much louder than real people. "Did someone say Dress Up Friday?" I bellowed, my heels clickety-clacking as I strode or strod. I deliberately moved to the tiled kitchen area to achieve this effect. "What?" I stopped clattering my feet. "Did someone say Dress Up Friday?" "Dress Down Friday, Sarah again." "I know that, Sarah." There was an edge to my voice which I regret. "I'm having some fun with you." "By taking the piss out of us? You think we like having to wear suits while you lot swan around in jeans?" "I don't swan, Sarah. Don't say I swan when I don't. Yeah, I wear a jean sometimes. I also wear a chino or a thick cottoned pant. But I have to be comfortable if I'm to produce the radio show that, by the way, guys, keeps you all in a job." The atmosphere had really soured, so I decided to abort. I removed the bowler hat and suit jacket. "I've decided not to participate. Can someone return my £5, please?" Silence. "I'm not participating, so I'll require a refund. I shouldn't be expected to pay." They pretended they hadn't heard me, so I approached the collection box, a locked petty cash tin with a slot in the top. I shook it in the hope of dislodging some cash, but nothing came. "Right, one of you is opening this. You've got 10 seconds. In unison, they began to count down from 10, their voices actually harmonizing, so they sounded like one of those monk choirs from the Old Spice advert. Under different circumstances, I would have found this pleasing on the ear, but not now. 8, 7, 6, 5. I shook the tin hard, looking for all the world like Ainsley Harriet at one of his barbecues when he's had too much punch and gets his maracas out. I stopped, determined to keep every ounce of my dignity. "Very well, I'm happy to donate. It all goes to charity." "Charity," said Sarah. "We're putting it towards an espresso machine." I strode away. And I'll be honest, that day has coloured my opinion of charity. But while I haven't given to charity since then, this was 2007, it isn't the reason I don't want to make the footsteps of my father a charity walk. The footsteps of my father walk is to honour my father. Raising money or awareness for a good cause can only subtract from that, Make it a charity walk and suddenly everyone's talking about leukemia or Terence Higgins when they should be talking about Alan Partridge and Alan Partridge's father. No, charity and father honouring are two rival conflicting ideas, and it is essential that nothing detracts from the true purpose of this walk. Well, no prizes for guessing how well that goes down. The general view seems to be that I am lazy or mean-spirited, but then I work with women who pass round sponsorship forms at the drop of a hat. Not for the drop of a hat, I might add, though I wouldn't be surprised if that's the next thing. My 9-year-old is going to be spending his Saturday dropping a hat to raise money for Save the Children. Of course he is. He is one. That said, I've got nothing against charity walkers. It's a low-risk and relatively easy way to raise money, even if you're doing it in your bra or a rhino costume. Back in 85, I was sent to cover Ian Botham's walk from Land's End to John O'Groats for Saxon Radio. Alongside a phalanx of well-wishers lining the route, I was there to cheer on and grab a quick interview with the great man, Botham. I saw him come by, and easing a couple of youngsters out of my path with a gentle forearm, I positioned myself alongside the mustachioed cricket ace. "Alan Partridge, Norwich Radio, how are you feeling?" "Not bad, bit of a dicky tummy, but otherwise fine." "So that's what IBS stands for, Ian Botham's stomach," I would have said, but the line only came to me 16 years later. Instead, I lobbed in a prepared line. "They call you beefy, but you're burning 5,000 calories a day. I'll tell you something, you..." He turned away to sign a girl's cricket bat, milliseconds before my punchline. No matter, I waited. After a minute or two, the girl effed off, and Ian turned back. I continued, "They call you beefy, but you're burning 5,000 calories a day. I'll tell you something, you won't be beefy for long." He laughed. Everyone did. Then replied, "Yeah, although it's more of a nickname. Even if I'm thin, I'll be beefy. Like jerky. Pardon? Beef jerky. It's thin beef. Meat, but hammered meat." "Ah, like carpaccio. Exactly, Ian. Or bresaola." "What's bresaola? Like carpaccio, but thin and air-dried and red. Basically, if a cow had a scab, it would be bresaola." "Great talking to you," he said as he broke into a jog, only stopping when he was about 5 yards ahead of me. "Cheers, scabby," I called after him. "I mean beefy."